Well, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to get started this evening. Father in heaven, I thank you for the chance to come here together and to be able to share tonight, Lord, a testimony, a story of your work. And so I pray that you would use this for your purposes and for your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would use this to hear a story, but for it to also touch us and to encourage us and for us to evaluate our own lives as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing that I see in Jesus' life is that he often would go to a secluded place and would be praying there and would get away, and then he would come back and do ministry. And some of my favorite attributes of Christ is watching him again and again and again do that. And I would encourage you tonight, as you hear my story of a sabbatical, a time of rest, that it gives you a chance to evaluate in your own life. I know not everyone has that ability. It was a huge thing for me to be able to do this, but I would encourage you to maybe think, and this is something I've had to evaluate coming back into the position, of how can I establish rhythms of rest for myself as well. And it's not good for someone to wait 7 years and go, all right, now it's time to rest. We need to be resting, and there's a reason, and I'll go ahead and put my disclaimer up there, that there is a lot of the biblical aspects. Tonight's not a teaching on sabbatical and why we should rest and all of that. If you'd like that, you should go back and listen to May 12th sermon. I did that in preparation for the sabbatical. Also tonight, it is not going to be where I share all the ideas and things that I feel like God's leading me and us to. That is Sunday morning, and we started that this past Sunday. This past Sunday was really a key message in getting at that. And so if you weren't here, I would encourage you to, it's online already, I would encourage you to go and to listen to it in preparation for the next several weeks. But tonight is really just, I'm here to share my story and hope that it resonates with you on some level, and where there's some sense of application in your life as well. So this is heavy on story, and I hope that God uses it to minister to us this evening. Real quick, going into the sabbatical, I had three things that I was supposed to kind of focus on. One of them was personal and professional rest and renewal. And this was just that I would have a chance to rest and then also be renewed both personally and professionally, meaning that there would be a chance for me to grow and learn in areas of what it means to be a pastor, but also grow and learn in areas of just being me. And so that was part of my task. The next one was time with family. That was one. And then the third one was period of personal enjoyment, meaning find something outside of ministry, your every day-to-day ministry at least, and try to be a part of that. And so I'm going to share about those things this evening. And so let's begin with the very first part, personal and professional rest and renewal. So I'm going to start actually at the very end of the sabbatical, okay? And what happened and occurred at the end is I had a time in Frisco, Colorado. I went there right before I came back here. Literally when I landed, I went right back to the office. And the reason for this final piece was I wanted to be able to kind of process for about 3 days all that I'd been learning and be able to utilize that in moving forward. And so during this time, I went on this hike, and it was a 7-mile hike. It was the longest hike. I think it's the longest one I've ever been on. Our family, we've been on several hikes, but I think this probably tops it. And when I got there, this is kind of the gate that was there. And at the gate, you'll see some signs posted there. And on the signs, it said this. It said, don't be discouraged the first mile, because things get better. So I thought, well, what does that mean? Well, the first mile of this trail ended up right around this corner. You kind of got on the trail, and it started to have a steep incline. It was all rocky, and it was, you couldn't keep a good footing. And then after that, you have these fields that you would walk through and all these flowers and the mountains. It was beautiful, but it said, you know, don't give up in that first part of it. And I thought, as I began this walk, and really, it hit me actually on the walk, that this walk is kind of emblematic of my sabbatical in general. It felt like God was kind of doing a snapshot for me of, hey, this was kind of the walk that you went on for the sabbatical. And so what happened is you make it over the rock, and then, of course, indeed, things got better. And the reason that I say it kind of started out on that steep incline, I shared a little bit about this on Sunday, is that I went into the sabbatical. I wasn't burnt out, but I went in still tired. I was physically, emotionally, spiritually tired. I was ready to rest, but I was also restless. And I felt like, boy, I've got to do something. I should be answering phone calls or emails or something. It's like my mind was wired to just keep going. And so the very first part of the sabbatical is, this is a picture of the farm that I stayed at. This is my grandfather's farm. The house is behind the picket fence there. And I'll show you here. This is the house. And so this is my grandparents' house that they own. Now my aunt and uncle own it. My grandparents passed away about 25 years ago. And so this was where I spent the first 7 days of the sabbatical. And so really it's kind of a try to get secluded, try to get away, away from email and all of that. Give you a couple of other ideas. This was what I had. I had a lake there and some bridges that I could look at. And then this was the view that I had of cattle. And I mentioned this in the sermon too. I'd sit on the front porch and sure enough, there was just cattle and me. So not a lot of conversation. But it was a challenge. And it was something that I would say, especially in our culture, if you enter into a rhythm of rest yourself, you don't shut down so quickly and so easily. We are in a very high-tempo society, and so for me, it took some time to kind of do that. There was something else that was a bit unique about my time in Bryan College Station. So that was where my grandparents lived. It was an hour and 15 minutes from where I grew up, and so we'd always travel there as a kid. And so what I did not expect this, I kind of began to tour the Bryan College Station, and this was stuff from my childhood. So this was a winery that's just down the road from the farm, and whenever I was in middle school, I went on a 5K run. It was called Run Through the Vines. While I was there, I met a guy who now owns the winery. His parents used to own it, but he was about my age, and he said, I did run through the vines. We were there together, and so it had this unique impact of kind of taking me back to my childhood. This is my grandfather's dentist practice. Now, it doesn't mean much to you, but I used to come up here and ride the seats up and down in his dentist office. And this guy, Mike Reese, actually bought it from him when he retired over 30 years ago. And he himself is about to retire. But kind of going back there, this right here was a high school that I went to. Even though it was an hour and 15 minutes away, I actually ended up going to their homecoming. I dated a girl in my grandfather's town, and so there were all these kind of reliving in my mind, high school and things like that. All this was having a pretty profound effect that I wasn't ready for, and this was the church. My first Sunday away, I kind of committed that during the summer I wanted to worship in places that were a little bit unique and different. Now, this is a Methodist church, and Methodists are quite different from us in a lot of areas. There's some similarities, but they're quite different. This is, though, the church that my grandparents grew up going to. It's also the church that my parents got married in. And I was encouraged. I was there. It was a gospel-centered message. But at the end, I introduced myself to the pastor, and he said, he didn't know my grandparents. He had only been there 5 years, but he grabbed this woman. He said, she might know them. And I said, yeah, do you know Dr. Ritchie and Mary? And she said, they were my best friends. We were in small group together. And so they had been dead now 25 years. And she said, actually, my husband, who used to be the pastor here, he married your parents, your mom and dad. And so it was, for me, a lot of emotions. And then I went here. And this is my grandparents' grave. A buddy of mine was on sabbatical this summer as well, and he went on what he called a grieving tour. And I thought, you know, that sounds beneficial, but I tend to be more of a robot, and I don't kind of cry and that kind of thing. I walked in here and I looked at that and I just began to weep. And I didn't know why. I didn't know what was going on there. I think all these childhood things and everything, it was unearthing something. And I wonder if for some of us, being able to kind of take a step back in a time of rest and kind of intentionally being able to process through things. I remember thinking there were things and I just missed them. And I missed being a kid. I missed the farm. The farm was being sold. And so someone had bought the farm. And that was not a good joke, but someone had bought it. And they are buying it. And so it's being sold. And so there's a lot of that. I felt some loss and some grief. And so I was there and I really did. I miss Mama and Papa Richie. That's what I called them. And so I think for each of us, we maybe have emotions that we push, and there may be some things that we need to deal with. I'll continue. This is, I'm going to highlight a couple of God moments that were really cool. I made a quick trip to Austin, Texas, and it just so happens as I was passing through there that my aunt and uncle, that's them, that's my mom's brother and his wife, and then my cousin Rebecca, and then her two kids as well. And so it was fun to get to see them and talk to them. It was something that was unexpected. And also, I don't see my aunt and uncle that much anymore. They're also kind of a childhood connection for me as well. This is also something, and I think all this will make sense why I'm sharing this, but this was when I was at Baylor University. I went through Waco as well. I did a little tour of things, and this is where my apartment was. A buddy of mine, Clint Harp and Baird Smith, were my roommates there. If you watch Fixer Upper, Clint's the guy on Fixer Upper. He's not the main guy, but he's the handyman. And he put me up in his place there. They have a bed and breakfast there. And so I put that there just to show off my friend's stuff. There's Harp Design Co. if you want to pick up. Those are way expensive, just so you know. It's a cutting board for like $100. So from there, I'm going to stop here. Every morning, I would go on a walk and a run. And it was, for me, getting back to even that beginning illustration of a trail, this was something that came up again and again in the sabbatical, the idea of a walk, the idea of going down a path. And as I thought through this, you know, this was actually, I took this picture because it was interesting. All these people were on this trail and there was a lot of life there. And then you've got the cemetery, and it just was a quick reminder for me of the brevity of life, that life is very short. And so, again, when you're not connected and wired and all of this, you begin to just have all these things that you're processing and going through. And I hope that my experience in sharing some of this is helpful to you. While I was, again, this is personal personal and professional rest and renewal. So part of the renewal I want to share now are some of the things I read and listened to while I was gone. This is a biography on Martin Luther. And so my mentor, pastoral mentor, said you need to just have a book that you can kind of read that's a biography, just kind of enjoy someone else's story. And so this was fun for me, all right? I did Martin Luther. And it was actually very fascinating, very interesting. Some other books, The Road Back to You. I got this because a lot of these were very intentional purchases. The Road Back to You is about the Enneagram, and if you're not familiar with the Enneagram, it has kind of a scary name. It's not anything kind of overly spiritual as much as it's like Myers-Briggs almost. It's a personality assessment of who you are and ways that you interact and respond to people. And so I found this, and I had a lot of friends that found this very helpful in their marriages, a lot of friends that found this helpful in at work, being able to say, okay, this person is different than me. They think a little bit differently, and so it helps me knowing how to interact with them, knowing what's important to them, knowing what fears they have and that kind of thing. And so The Road Back to You, I actually took the staff through it when I came back. That was one of the things that I wanted to do and implement was, hey, let's try to get to know one another and know in a work situation how we interact and engage with one another. From there, a follow-up to that is The Path Between Us, which is taking it a little bit further and actually saying in relationships, in marriage, in work relationships, it just gets a little bit more into the details there. And so I followed it up with that one. I also did one called Following Through. I had this idea that I would probably learn a lot, and I was afraid I would lose it. And so I thought, why not read a book about following through so when you get back, you actually don't just say, well, that was neat, and keep moving. And I've actually found this to be a very helpful book. It was just a self-published book, but it came kind of recommended, and so that was one that I read. Digital Minimalism, this is the one that I referenced on Sunday, and personally I got this because I wanted to try to say, okay, I've got all these devices and all this technology stuff, and so I don't know exactly all of what to do with it, and so this helped me kind of process and think through, but it did even more than that, and that it began to influence how I was thinking about our culture, because there's a lot of cultural stuff and sociology in it. So it's a very interesting read. I've had a couple of you come up to me and say that you've read it as well. Didn't see it coming. So this book kind of set me on a different trajectory I wasn't expecting as well during the sabbatical. This is by Cary Newhoff, and Cary Newhoff's a pastor, and he also is kind of focused on leadership in the church. And so these were seven items that often will trip up pastors. And so I thought it's a great time to kind of step back and think through and process. And so that was a helpful book. But what it did is it also introduced me, and I guess my wife actually introduced me first to it, but is Cary Newhoff Leadership Podcast. So when I would go on these walks and runs, I would begin to listen to this, and he interviews, so it's not just one man's, you know, giving up all his ideas, but it's he interviews different leaders in the church, and I found a lot of those extremely helpful because they're very practical. If you're not familiar with what a podcast is, it's just a conversation that people are having, and so he would interview, and so it's audio, and so you're able to do that. I had 9 pages of the podcast that I had listened to, and I showed it to the staff today, and they were like, you've got to trim that. You're going to bore the people. So I'll try to, I got it down to 4, all right? So this is a sampling of what I listened to. But I wanted to focus on, I've had a lot of people in my life, a lot of pastors in my life who have burned out, and a lot of them who have had mental breakdowns and other things. And so I wanted to listen to the story of these people. And so you can see one of them was Perry Noble. He hit bottom in a church. It was a huge church, very successful. He also recovered from it. And then there was one with just an idea of how busyness and all that. I'm not going to read all of them. I'll just mention each one, though. Louis Giglio also had a nervous breakdown. He's a passion, and he had a great testimony there of God renewing him through that. And so those were powerful messages on that. This one was trying to think, and again, this is just a sampling, but messages about relating probably interpersonally and as well as relating with people and then relating with family. And so I listened to some on parenting, I listened to some on marriage, and then some on like the very first one. It can be hard to find. It can be very lonely in, as a pastor. And so trying to find friendships. And so Scott Sauls, who's a previous pastor of mine, was actually being interviewed on it. And so that was special to get to hear him on that. Barnabas Piper, if you're familiar with John Piper, this is one of the most powerful of the podcasts I listened to because it's from a pastor's kid perspective. And I wanted to hear, what are my kids potentially having to think through and work through? And so I'm actually having my kids right now listen to it. We're listening to it in chunks, and then I'm talking to them about it, and it's been a special time to learn kind of their lens and perspective. I'd rather be dead than married to you. I subbed this one in. The other one was called How to Kill Your Marriage and Renew It. So both of them were very special. But actually, it was just honest people saying, and you all can relate in marriage, that marriage is tough. And, you know, it's not a continual honeymoon season forever, that there's highs and lows, there's difficulty. And so I appreciated the honesty of these people who were being interviewed, and they gave great insight, especially being married in ministry, and that was helpful as well. Then I had a lot that I listened to in regards to culture and the church and interacting Why Young Adults Are Walking Away from the Church, What You Can Do About It, Kara Powell, very insightful, and Contemporary Churches Losing Their Edge and Changing Cultures. I said I wasn't going to read them, but I want to make sure you read them. David Kinnaman, I actually quoted him another podcast he did with Carrie Newhoff, but that was David Kinnaman's kind of probably the lead researcher right now. He's with Barna, and just tons of insight there. Completely different take on reaching millennials, Hayden Shaw. There was a lot of talk about the church and how there's really a disconnect with a lot of the generations that are younger, and so that was helpful for me. Then these were more, again, still in the culture, but the other ones were kind of about engaging with millennials and that kind of thing. This was more just in general things. Ed Stetzer, Scott Sauls, both of them are pretty high up there. We've actually had Ed Stetzer at an EPC General Assembly before. The one that really changed me, though, was Oz Guinness. Oz Guinness is... I won't go into all the aspects of it, but he had some of the, he's in his, I think, early 80s now, some of the most wise, insightful comments that I've heard in regard to the culture, and it was life-changing for me listening to that one. All right. What I also did during my time is that I took a 10-week kind of course where it was trying to figure out how do I manage all the priorities, all my time, energy, and all of this. And so this course kind of walked me through basically ideas of what are your high energy times, what are you spending your time on, what do you need to stop spending your time on, what do you need to start spending your time on. Let's make sure that you're using your high energy time to do the things that are most important. And so it's just reworking all of the framework of how I approached which sometimes for me, and maybe you can relate to this, is the tyranny of the urgent. You know, I just do whatever's before me or whatever at least feels urgent. And this was very, very, very helpful. This is probably the number one thing that I did as far as kind of changing and shaping me coming back into the role as your pastor in a much more healthy way. So I went through that. All right. We're going to go now to family time. It says part two, and it's supposed to be a line. It looks like 21, so we're moving along. So this could feel like that. I remember I would often get the 35 millimeter film rolls that people would put on, and you're kind of like, whew, all right, let's keep moving. So I'll try not to do that, but some of that's going to happen. When I came back from Bryan College Station, the very first thing we went to was Kanakut Camp's Kei Kauai, which is a family camp, and so what you have there, there's all of us, and don't get too jealous. It is in Branson. It's not in Hawaii, all right? But you would never know it because they actually do a great job of kind of designing this thing, and they had all sorts of things. It was it was a huge gift camp had given to us, and so that was a way that they wanted to bless our church and bless our family, and so it was a gift from them. And so we got to go. It was a week long, and this is another kind of, slideshow 35-millimeter deal. Now, I got to explain some of this. I just want to lay on a part of this was for me to have fun and enjoy family time. So what they did is part of the day, they took the kids away, and they had us in there as parents, and so we would have competitions because if you hit a certain age, you don't do that anymore. There's a good reason you don't do that anymore. I'm stretching out there because we're about to do dodgeball, and my dodgeball arm was pretty weak. Here I am. Now, I'm the guy that's blurry because I'm so fast, all right? There it is. Now, true story, the main speaker there, he was from a real big church in Oklahoma, and his wife was in front of me in a dodgeball game, and like I was behind her. That was part of the game was you were supposed to use the person as a shield because she'd gotten hit and she was frozen. She could just move her arms. Well, I went back like this to throw and she brought her arm up and I hit her thumb and I think I broke her thumb. So anyway, we were escorted from camp after that. No, She was very sweet, but I could tell. It was one of those where, like, I'm sorry, you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. It was not the highlight for me. Here I am shooting Nerf guns at other people, having fun, being a kid again. Here we are on a boat on the lake, and I wanted to spice this up a little bit and show you a video. There was some cliff jumping, and it's coming. So Melissa and Parker wanted to cliff jump. Parker jumped, and his was pretty nice and fine. And then I said, hey, Parker, or Mel, we're yelling at her, be sure you pencil dive. Be sure you pencil dive, because otherwise it's going to be painful. She went in at a bit of an angle, and we had the video. You might turn this one up just a little bit, Claudia, to make sure you can hear this interaction.
Oh, that could have hurt her face.
Yeah.
You don't really pencil dive.
You couldn't hear the boat guy at the end, but he was like, that wasn't a pencil dive. So, but it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Here we are. We got to do things, just fun activities like climb a rock wall. We got to get our aggression out on each other. This is, we had paintball, and so we got to do that and get some ticks, so it was fun. This was, they had party nights there, and this is just us dressed up. But all in all, it was a fantastic week, great bonding time week, and very thankful again for that. This ties up a little bit to other things. I'm sharing it, hopefully you'll see in the end. But this was at the camp. This Mary Ritchie, we saw her grave earlier. That was my grandmother, and that was the farm that she lived at. And back in the 1950s, she was a big part of Kanakuk. And so I tell you that because this is where I came to faith in Christ. And so it's a place, again, that kind of tapped into this walk that I began to look back and see God's hand in my life in different areas, in different ways. And I think that those are important things. We see it in the life of a lot of people in Scripture with Moses and David, especially like where they're looking back at ways that God prepared them for ministry. And you see that. You really do see it in your own life as well. If you take time to consider, wow, these were the family I was born into. These were the trials. These were the tragedies. These were the joys. These are the gifts, the skills, the abilities. Those things are God kind of at work. And so for me, that's why I put the picture up there, both for myself, but also to remind you that God has his hand at work. Every morning, also on that path deal, I would take a walk, and at the camp, you had three camps side by side, and so adults and counselors were down there, and you could walk. And so this is Tanikoma Lake, and it's really cold, and the air would kind of be on top, and it would fog over, and then a breeze would blow, and it would blow the fog there, and you could kind of walk through it. Again, a walk, and there was something about walking and thinking and processing. And I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. After that, we went to Colorado. And we did a short trip to Colorado. This isn't the Frisco one that I went to at the end, but my brother lives there. And so this is my niece. That's Callaway. And so we're at my brother's house. And then from there, we went to go and feed the chipmunks in St. Elmo. We had some time with a favorite friend of ours, Marian Anderson. And we drove over and I got to feed the chipmunks. If you've never gotten to, here they are. Get ready. It's exciting. There's Cooper's hand. There we go. We have 5 minutes of this video, so I only showed you 10 seconds, so you can thank me. All right, from there's the river. Now, don't get nervous. You should get a little nervous. I was nervous right here because there's Cooper. Whoa. Yeah, he got disciplined a little bit for that. No. But that was kind of just all the water melting off the mountains. There was a chance there to connect with nature and connect with, God's creation, as we like to think of it. And God, just being able to see that he richly provides for us, and he's very creative. It's very beautiful, and that was a sweet time. That's another picture of Colorado. I'm just moving through here. We put together puzzles, and so I made a point. I said, I'm on sabbatical. I'm not going to talk to anyone. I'm just going to do this puzzle. That's what I was doing. No, I talked to people, but you can tell I love this picture because I look really bad in it. and I looked really focused, but it was just fun time together. We got to ride some ATVs. Me and my Mel got to go as well, and so that was fun. I put this up because we went and saw this, and this is for my summer socials, film fanatics, folks. I want to watch this with y'all. It's Toy Story 4, and one of the most nihilistic films of all times. And if you don't believe me, we need to talk through it, because it tells you life is meaningless, but it puts it in a really kind of Pixar way. And I share that because I really miss the Summer Social Club, and I'm trying to stir up some folks who now want to watch it with me. This was we did some fun stuff at the house. Just to, if you want an idea of a really bad idea, here it is. This is called Spill Your Guts. We learned it on a television show. I think James Corden does it. And so the idea is you pick out all these really bad things, and then you can either answer a question, and usually it's a hard question to answer, or you can say, you know what, I'm not going to answer your question, but I'll take on and I will eat this. And so we had there, the very first one is clam juice. Some of this might sound good to some of you, but clam juice by itself. Then we had jalapenos, and then there was it's like tomato and banana pepper stirred in tomato sauce or tomato soup, sardines, and then the marinated mushrooms, which is what this picture is. I'm studying it, going, do I want to eat that? And I do have a goatee, and I hated it, but I had it. After that, we went to Seattle, and in Seattle. We got to do some fun stuff. Sorry, Parker, I meant to change that picture. Parker's not smiling there. It's a good pick, though. This is the gum wall. If you've never done it, you really don't need to. It's the dirtiest thing in Seattle. And Sophie, it hit her hand, someone else's gum. So, but we had a great time there. There are kiddos around some of the sculptures that are there. We also got to make a trip to Canada, and so that was fun and beautiful. Victoria, right? Yeah, I'm awful at geography, so I'm like, yeah, I was in Canada. In Texas, we just learned the Texas cities, so there is some truth. I told someone today I had 4 years of Texas history, 1 year of U.S. history, and a semester of world history. True story. I know very little about history. All right. From here, let's see. Uh-oh. There we go. Oh, this is a video. This is a place we went. I think I skipped over another picture, but this is Cooper kind of hanging out. This is called, not what's called, Rosebud Islands, but Ruby. I knew it. This is Ruby Island. So if you've ever seen Goonies and you've seen all that area, this is not where they filmed it. But it's very similar, and it's not, to get to the Goonies place would have been a lot further drive. And so for Cooper, it was cool. He loves Goonies, and this felt very similar. It's what? Yeah, some peninsula. Yeah, Olympic Peninsula. But here we are. This is a picture of us, same place. These are rocks, and we stacked some, but this was someone else's work, and it was much better. So I wanted to show you all, because those were all over the place. Here I am sleeping. Melissa really wanted this in there, and I don't know why. It's not a flattering picture, but I guess to let you know that I did rest, because I needed to rest. Here we are skipping rocks. That was a lot of fun. When we were in Seattle, so we'd go on these day trips, we'd come back. This was the place we got to stay at. One of our really best friends is now a high-up executive at a big company there in Seattle. They have a beautiful, beautiful house that they were going to be gone for the week that we were there. They gave it to us. And so, again, seeing God's hand of provision there, here we are. And so we got the fire, we got the mountains, and I've got my phone. That's why I needed to read Digital Minimalism. But here I am again. I was tired. I needed sleep. And so I just slept outside because in Seattle it was beautiful weather. We also saw God's provision in fun little ways. After this, we started a road trip to Yellowstone. And we needed our very first meal. We didn't know what we were going to do. We were going to try to eat in the car or something. And it happened to be Cow Day. And so literally in the van, our kids start drawing up stuff and putting it on so that we can get free food at Chick-fil-A. Here is, so our first, this is Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Anyone been there? All right. So we stayed there, us and Harrison Ford. So he lives there, so it was, or has a place there. And here's our little hotel there, the Virginian Lodge. Anyone stayed there? Kind of a well-known area there. All right, no. Our kids are out there. They're able to play around. Again, this is a 35-millimeter slideshow. I'm going fast. Here's some of the Grand Tetons. And beautiful, beautiful, again, just thinking of God's creation. I'm going to just go through this real quick. I mean, the Grand Tetons, there are kids swimming. Beautiful place to go. God really provided this picture especially. Is beautiful, and the Grand Tetons aren't too bad either, so just a joke. Here are our kids swimming again, but I like the lighting on this one, and I just couldn't throw it out. It was a beautiful one. From there, went to Yellowstone. This one has a little bit of a fun story in that we were told to look for wildlife, so we find this buffalo, and we're like, we found a buffalo, and so we pull off the side of the road, and we run down this hill. It's like a quarter mile, and we're climbing through stuff, and there's all these things. And so we just stared at that buffalo for 30 minutes, and we told our family, we're like, can you imagine? Everyone else is missing out, but look at this. Like, we're so close. We're looking at this buffalo. We get back in the car. 10 minutes later, this is what happens to us. That's us. We ran through dirt and mud and all sorts of other things to get to that one buffalo, and these guys came right to our car. So we got to see an elk as well. We got to see a bear, and the bear crossed the road right in front of us. There's the bear. What you don't know, what you can't see, is the guy in front of us is yelling, everyone get back in your cars quick, the bear's coming, and they... We're kind of worried, and so we get back in the car. I look over, and Melissa's not there. Melissa's actually right there next to the bear as the bear went past her, and yeah, good job, Mel. Here we are. That's the picture we sent out on Facebook in announcing this and everything, but again, these are just pictures of fun family time and things that we got to experience, and this little trail here left the back of our cabin and took us to some waterfalls that were beautiful. Of course, we saw the geyser, and there I am sleeping because I needed rest. And so there's a theme of sleeping here. We played a little chicken, whatever the game's called, where that's me and Melissa in the water and Sophie and Cooper. There's the Old Faithful geyser. And then we bumped into some friends there, which was really crazy. So we saw the Andersons there, and so it was a lot of fun getting to hang out and see them, which was really wild. And so again, it was one of those kind of God moments. I forget which one spotted us, but someone spotted us and Samuel and came after us, and we got to hang out and see that and experience that together. So God worked in really powerful ways. Here's one of my favorite pictures of Old Faithful. We were near it, and so we saw it like go off three or four times. And then the typical one that you got to have, where you see things you see at Yellowstone, the actual Yellowstone there. I also did some work. All right, real quick, I cleaned the fridge. I want to make sure you all knew that. We knocked down the tile on, we have a fireplace out back, and it was starting to fall apart, and so I spent some time with Bill Pierce knocking it down, and then we've got a group, if you want to join us, if you like tiling, we're going to retile it here do that. That was a fun project. Here's the reason I share this. These were things I had never done before. I'm the least handy person, but I put in that light, not the bulb, the actual light, all right? It was actually something I've always been intimidated by, and it was actually digital minimalism was like, you know, you should try doing things with your hands, and I was like, well, I'll try this, and I put in 3 new light things down in our basement. It was a lot of fun. Let me put this picture in. I share this because I want to thank you all as a church for caring well for my family. I didn't get to come here, but they were here often. And this is the middle school mystery trip that 2 of our kiddos got to go on. And this is symbolic, if you'll receive it, is kind of symbolic of all the ways that you all cared for us while we were here. We had some people mowing our lawn and all that. It was really a beautiful thing. And I was glad that they felt comfortable to come and to worship with you all, even though I was off elsewhere worshiping. And so that was a sweet thing. I appreciate that. We did a staycation, which was fun. This is Crossroads Hotel. And so Melissa and I, this is coming back to the sabbatical. We're about to go back. And I wanted to do 2 things. I wanted kind of end well and prepare and all of that. And then Melissa surprised me with the staycation, which was fun. And the second thing was going back to Frisco now, which I'm going to talk about. But the final part, part 31. I promise you there's a space in there upstairs. So conclusions and period of personal enjoyment. So I went to Frisco. There was a crazy sale that came on. It was like $35 plane tickets there, and so it came on. And so I said, you know, this might be a good way to close this out. I had planned, and I'm going to talk about it here in a little bit, but I had planned on being able to do a film during my time. And there were just some things that came up that it just wasn't going to work. I mean, it was pretty much all financial, but there were some other things. We had spent a good part of like 8 months pursuing a person for the role. The main character was Lauren Daigle, who we were pursuing, and then she got really big in the music world and got way bigger than our little film that we were going to do. And so we just had things like that. There were several things like that that just didn't work out. And so that final ticket was like, here's my chance to kind of still get away and process and think and all of that. Well, I got to, this is my coffee cup at Frisco, and I was actually went through and reread some of the books and wrote down things. I just didn't want to lose some of this stuff because it was very precious to me that I was learning, and I want to make sure I kind of kept that. And so I say all that. This time of reflection was very much like this part of the walk. As I got above the rocky part of starting and trying to get my heart to slow down and be able to kind of my soul being able to rest finally and look out. I spent a lot of that trail, the very first part of the trail, and Melissa knows this about me, is I'm always concerned about wildlife. Like I have a hard time enjoying it because I'm always looking for, you know, the mountain lion that's stalking me from behind. I know they're there. I've been told stories that they're there, but they're never there. And I think finally, it was about halfway through this, I'm like, I'm not really enjoying this. I'm just kind of, you know, always worried about these things. And so I remember I was looking down, making sure I didn't twist an ankle in case I had to run. And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy it. And I think that's part of, and maybe you can relate to that, rough starts as well as just being distracted by all the worries and concerns of this world. And then finally, being able to look up and say, look at all of this, and being able to grow and learn. And that was really what the sabbatical was like for me. I put this video in there, even though it's just kind of, this was just looking around as I stood there and being able to see all that was there and just be a part again of enjoying God's creation. And then at the end, there's the path again. And then at the end, finally, I came to the end of the path. And I remember feeling like this is it, and I felt ready to go back. There's still one part of me that was still not satisfied, and I'll get to that. But when I started, before I got to head back, I got to spend a final time with my brother and his wife, and there's Callaway again. You've already met her, but we got to spend a little time in Frisco that last day. They came up from Castle Rock, and my when I went back home to fly out, I stayed at their house, and this was my very last walk that I went on my sabbatical. I got up early. The sun had not risen yet, and so I got to go and witness this. And so it was powerful. And again, the walk, the trail, all these things were there. So let me give you a quick update on the author film. I just want to say three things. One is thank you. There were a lot of you that either supported us and, you know, with on Facebook or social media, a lot of you, you know, had pledged money as well. And I just want to thank you. It was overwhelming, the support that you all gave in that. I have a WOW report, and I shared that there were two things that God used, because a lot of people were like, well, are you disappointed? Are you discouraged? Are you, you know, poor Richie, you didn't get to do his dream. So two things. One of them is a WOW report in that we are, so we're still, the production team is still looking for a future date. So it's not over, it's not dead. There's still several investors and things that, and it's more my dad and his company that's doing it than me. But there's still that. But this is a WOW report, and a WOW report is something that I steal from the deacons. They use it, and just where did you see God show up in kind of a big way? This for me was huge, because I was, it was in, as we were beginning to see, hey, look, we spent way too much time on all these other areas. We're not going to be able to do this. And we're going to have to push it off. We're going to have to look at alternate timelines, probably in 2020. And so I began to think through that. And I was on one of the flights coming home to Kansas City. And I won't go into the whole story of, but, you know, we were looking for someone like a Lauren Daigle. If you don't know who she is, she's a musician. And so we were looking for someone like that. And so someone in their early 20s, a female who is kind of a, you know, a free-spirited, loving, kind person who plays guitar. And I was getting on a flight, Southwest Airlines flight. I was in section B, all right, which is still okay. It's not the best. But I was in B33, and so I was up to the front of that second B line. And there was a girl there, and she looked very much what I had imagined this character was like. And I said, boy, this is weird. And then she interacted with me a bit. She goes, hey, how's this Southwest thing work? My mom went on as an A. I'm C6. And I said, well, you know, at least your mom's there. But she was in her mid-20s. And so I said, well, you're going to go over there. And then I thought, you know, here's an individual who appears to be identical to the character that I had written in the screenplay. I should engage at like some level. And so I said, so what kind of music do you play? And she said, well, I started out in the, you know, doing music in the church, and then I do now kind of folksy music. And so I said, then she went on to say, I actually was on American Idol recently. And so I said, oh, that's cool. That's neat. You know, we're more voice fans ourselves, but I didn't tell her that, but I was like, oh, that's great. And she said, my best friend actually just won it because he was on there with me, and he is a guy from Louisiana. If you do watch it, he had just won. And I said, oh, that's awesome. And so that was the end of the conversation. I got on the airplane, and I sat in the back because I was B33. And her name's Ashton. Ashton came on, and the lady up front goes, well, now we have a guitar. Who's bringing the kitchen sink? And I was like, boy, that's kind of tacky, even for, like, Southwest usually funny and fun. And so I told Ashton, I looked up, and everything was full. Mine was the only one open. Remember a God thing here. And so I said, hey, Ashton, why don't you take this? I moved my bag, and I could get my bag in, but there's only one that had enough room for a guitar. So she put her guitar in there, and she went and sat down with her mom. So I go, I wonder who this girl is. Like, I should look her up on my phone, because I'm not implementing digital minimalism yet. And so I looked her up, and immediately a video came up. It was her audition for American Idol, and it came up on my phone, you've already watched this. And I thought, well, that's weird. And so I start watching it, and it hit me because one of the judges there, Katy Perry, made a comment that I was like, that's right, because it was a weird comment. But I had, when Lauren Daigle had said no, we began to look for different people. And she was actually one that I looked at, but I said, well, she's on American Idol. She probably can't do it if we do it this summer. So we can't do it. And so I thought, that's amazing. Like, this girl's in my plane. And so afterwards, I actually grab her guitar because she's in the front and it's going to take forever for her to get back. And I walk it to her and I say, I've got to share this with you and your mom. And I shared the story. She got real interested in the film. I shared that. That was kind of God going, you know what? It's not time yet, but let me bless you in really a wild way. And even if she doesn't, like the chances and all of that, it was just kind of, I felt like, you know what? Maybe it's not time for this now, but God's still doing something here. Final thing. A buddy of mine said, hey, you know what? You can't, you're not able to make your film during your sabbatical. You should still do something. You should still interact with film in some way. And so I made a short film. I'm going to share it with you. I've already shared it on Facebook, so just out of curiosity, how many of you have seen it? So a lot of you. So I'm going to share it with you all. This is a path that I drove by, and I was trying to think of ideas for this. And this path, along with, there was a face app that came out that made a lot of noise, like in July. Remember that? Make you look old, make you look young. And it was just for photos, and I thought, boy, you could actually utilize this in film and make it a special effect. And I'm going to play it for you now. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not a robot. I do have a burden for reaching our culture in that way, and your support means a lot. Let me pray for us. Lord, all of us are on a walk, and Lord, we look back and we see your hand at work in many different ways. Lord, we have a chance sometimes to take a step back and to look and to consider what it is that you're calling us to next. Lord, I thank you for some of the things that I've learned and being able to help with structuring of my day and thinking through future and vision and mission and all those things. Lord, I'm excited for those lessons. I pray for those here. Lord, we're all at different parts of that walk, and we pray that you would continue to minister to us individually. Lord, that you would do a work in our lives and our hearts, And then, Lord, we do thank you that we have a great hope that as we take that final step, that there is the next breath, that there is eternal life, and that the breath that we take there is so much deeper than the things of this world. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who is our bridge to that, who died on the cross for our sins. And thank you that you are doing a work of sanctification in our lives. And Lord, I pray for anyone here, maybe who is on that walk and doesn't know Christ. Lord, would you open up their eyes to the one who can carry them through to the next life. Lord, we praise you. We ask this in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I love you all. God bless you. Have a good night.